Hey there, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It's me, DJ Impact, with Sin City Steve and Rob Bossolari, and welcome everyone to Wrestling Talk. If you're watching us live, first off, you notice we're doing the show hella early. Well, maybe not hella early. I mean, it's a couple hours than we normally do. But, you know, we want to get it started because we're having a busy week this week. So we want to, you know, got to get prepared for that. Nevertheless, we're here. If you happen to be catching us on the live stream, make sure you throw your comments in the chat box, YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. We'll love to see your comments, and we'll try to get it on the screen as we can. Other than that, if you download the podcast, thanks for downloading, listening, and yeah, continue to do that and tell others about us. All right, we'll get right into our the rest of the show. Let's start with Too Sweet for the Week. I guess before I get into this Sin City, we didn't get a chance to do a live show because first off, we were at a TV taping for TNA after watching Rebellion that Saturday. They did the tapings on Sunday, not to mention there was also an AEW pay-per-view. So we got a lot to catch up on, and feel free to talk all about it. We won't spoil any of the TNA for you guys in terms of the TV show. If you want to mention a little bit about Rebellion, we can. I thought it was a great pay-per-view as well. But Sin City, tell me, what do you got for this week, Too Sweet?
All right, man. So just to briefly touch on Dynasty, It's been a week. But again, Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay, no hyperbole, no recency bias, is probably one of the greatest matches that I have ever seen. Mm. Full stop. Yeah. The last 30 seconds of that match specifically was just extremely well done. And you know, you can say whatever you will about AEW just running spots and just running matches with no storylines or anything of that nature. Yeah. But as we saw this week on AEW TV, the match actually precipitated a storyline, and they used the match to launch a bit of storytelling that they're going to be using going forward, involving Will Ospreay and the Storm Driver, formerly known as the Tiger Driver 91, where he dropped Danielson on his head. Don't worry, he tucked his chin. It didn't actually drop him on his fucking head, but Danielson sold it like no one's business. Sure. Ospreay said after the match in the press meeting that he wasn't going to be using the move anymore, and we saw that play out on AEW TV this week. Mm-hmm. In the Casino Gauntlet match, which I'll talk about that match more in another segment, cough, cough. But yeah, Will Ospreay picks up the win in that Casino Gauntlet match, thus earning an AEW International Championship match at Double or Nothing. But it was what he didn't do in the match that could have serious storyline ramifications for him going forward. Mm. Elsewhere, Swerve Strickland is your new AEW World Champion.
Finally.
Absolutely. After defeating Samoa Joe at Dynasty, again, he planted his flag into AEW, and he let everybody know that everybody is on notice and that this is Swerve's house. So he... Swerve's house. As everybody else will know before too long. He chose to not come out on Dynamite and have a celebration. Instead, he wrestled Kyle Fletcher in a match. And that was very, very polarizing to quite a few people online, as they felt that he deserved the celebration to start the show. As it was, he got his moment to start Collision. And they basically built the first 20 minutes of that show around him.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that I didn't watch Collision, but I'll be honest with you. I probably would have been a part of that group that was going, yeah, why are you having a match after this big match?
You had? Ultimately, you know, everybody always thinks that Dynamite is the only show, or, you know, a clear cut A show, which it is, but you have to build the other shows. You have to build Collision. And yes, you have to do something with Rampage. They actually started to do that this week. And I think that they're finally waking up to long-term episodic storytelling in their shows. It's only taken 5 years.
Right. Rob, what did you have?
I just want to piggyback on what you just said right there. What made Rampage good this week is that it was followed Collision. So I don't have this little spurts of stories. They should get rid of Rampage altogether and just have Dynamite and Collision. I don't need Rampage. I don't like 3 hours of Raw, but 3 hours of Collision Rampage proved to be good. That parking lot match on Collision with the freaking former best friends was damn great. Chuck Taylor did a damn good job. He took his beatings. He put Trent Barretta through a windshield. They sold every bump. The bleeding was not, it wasn't like a John Moxley, like, oh, I'm bleeding. It was, I went through glass. When they set up the, is that chipboard? I it's like,
the drywall sheet. Yeah.
Yeah. The drywall sheet. Fine. But I like it. Have they gone to that? Maybe. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. That was my toot sweet of the week. Watching these guys beat the shit out of each other really worked for me. And that's almost when you know your friendship angle has reached its apex, when you now feel comfortable fighting your best friend. And it could be, you could go back in history, like the Hearts doing it, with the Hardys doing it, going back throughout time. And I mentioned two brother tag teams, but still, they're basically brothers. They said these guys have wrestled for 11 years together. And what did we get? We got a banger. Mm-hmm. And it was a good one. I like that everybody was involved. I like that, you know, Chris Statlander was involved. I like that Orange Cassidy was involved. The right amount of concern. And you had to have Trent Barretta win.
Yes.
Going to work with Chuck Taylor winning, because then you have nowhere to go with that. You can't have a baby face and then spawn another baby face, and let alone one that is very, very injured. Mm-hmm. So they did everything they had to do with that. Going to the Blackpool Combat Club shit with Claudio Castagnoli. This is twice they did that for Swerve Strickland, where they threw him right in the match and right into the fighting champion stuff. There's no circumstance or pomp with him. No ceremony with him. It's just match, match, match. I don't like that he went to babyface so soon, but that's a question for later. That's a comment for later.
Okay. Good stuff, guys, there. I will say this. I enjoy Raw. One thing I will tell you that I was a little iffy on, and WWE did the safe move when it came to the women's battle royal for who's going to be the women's champion. And of course, it ended up being Becky Lynch. Now, listen, I have no problem with Becky Lynch, but Triple H, could we maybe not have tried Nia Jax? Now, we're going to talk a little bit later about, I'm just, hey, give me a second, Sin City. Because there were four of them in the ring, and I could have been okay with either one. Okay? And we're going to talk about the draft in our three count. So hopefully
if he wants to. She's not like most girls.
We'll talk about the draft in our three count and everything. But I don't know. I was just hoping maybe, like Lynch is safe. We know that she's going to be a great women's champion, but I don't, you know, but when you look at the overall roster of women in the ring, I mean, look, over half of them could not be able to hold that belt. So you're going to, based on what they had in the ring, you only had a handful to choose from. I would have went for Nia. I wouldn't have had a problem with that. You know, I mean, Liv, why Liv? She's trying to create this story of her tour that she wants to revenge tour. So you don't want to give somebody a title who's still trying to go after this revenge. So, but in theory, she could have got it too. So like I say, the safe bet, I don't know. Overall, I did enjoy Raw. I thought it was cool. You know, wanted to throw that in, and SmackDown did what it needed to do as well outside of the drafts. That is just my part there. Now let's go right into anybody that needs some love out there. Let's see. All right, Rob, anybody out there who's like, man,
I had to look up to find out where he was wrestling this week. Jay freaking Lethal is on Ring of Honor now full time. I didn't know where he was. And they're like, oh, he's wrestling for a TV title. OK, that's like saying you're wrestling for a TV dinner. All right. That's what he's been relegated to. Damn. I mean, And the TV title match brought to you by Swanson Hungry Man Meals. Are you a hungry man? This has 1 pound of food you'll love and a brownie. Brought to you by the Jay Lethal match.
Don't hate on those brownies, man. Those things
sometimes
are fucking delicious.
Apple cobbler. And then you just want him to go, I love this TV dinner. Remember when I had a career?
Hell.
Oh, my God.
I love Jay Lethal. You know, that sucks. You're right on that. I was one of the Jay Lethal's biggest fans. Outside of all the WWE shirts that I own of wrestlers I've enjoyed over time, I got 2 or 3 different versions of Jay Lethal. He's probably the only one. Seriously, I know. I have them. Yeah, I don't know what has happened, but whatever.
But that, and also when we go to Raw,
yeah,
forget you cannot do Nia Jax for the obvious reason that she threw up the one. Throw her in the fucking bloodline already. Throw her in the fucking bloodline already. Throw her in the fucking bloodline already. Throw her in the goddamn bloodline already. Okay. Right. I want to see her fight men. She's done it. She's seen hints of it. I want to see her be Solo Sikoa's right-hand guy, not Tama Tonga. Throw her in the goddamn bloodline already. And they put her on SmackDown, which means she's not getting a belt on SmackDown. We know this now. You're not going to, it's not going to happen. So with that said, what are you left with? You're left with then
Lynch.
Somebody like, no, where the hell do you put Shayna Baszler? She's amazing in the ring.
Well, that's
she's amazing true. In that's the goddamn true. Ring. She's
got, but until
they she's throw, been there a decade.
Until no, she hasn't.
But, no, but she's been there a while. She's she can be over with the fans. You've given her tag belts. Listen, she's broken arms.
You have to start building her up the way she was at NXT. Throw that leather jacket on her. Make people feel her like Dakota running away from her height and didn't want to see her. Build that Shayna up again. You
fine,
just can't.
But this- fine, but they're not even doing that. And that's where yeah. she's getting the love. If I you understand. Even gave her that, I don't give a damn about Liv Morgan. I hate to say it. Morgan also has got a problem because if Liv Morgan's revenge tour was against Rhea Ripley and she injured Rhea Ripley, she has nowhere to go now because she won. So what do you do with that? You can't have a revenge tour when your revengeance was met, you know, in the first freaking minute. And also now if Rhea Ripley comes back, Rhea Ripley's going to beat up this kid by comparison in size. She has no credibility now. She's actually going to have to build herself back up because she got taken out by Liv Morgan. Now, I don't know if that's kayfabe, probably was, but if it is or if it isn't, that makes her look really weak sauce to lose to this little scrappy kid who was a sidekick to Ruby Riott. Ruby Riott's sidekick beat the shit out of you. How embarrassing it is. Your understudy, your little sidekick when you were tagging with her, beat the shit out of you. Okay? She weighs 90 pounds soaking wet.
All right. So
how do you come back from that? Where's the love for Rhea Ripley?
You have a few where's the love, apparently, okay?
You
started with Jay Lethal, and now we're all the way over to the Liv. All right, let me go right over to Sin City, man. Where you got any love? Anybody need some love out there?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm gonna keep the theme going of the women because you had mentioned Liv Morgan. I'm going to bring up somebody that we never talk about, and quite frankly, that no one ever talks about, but somebody that's doing the best work of her career. And somebody that just passed a major, major milestone.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Ring of Honor women's champion, Athena. She just crossed over the 500-day mark of holding that women's championship. Wow. There are only two other champions in the history of Ring of Honor that have held a title for longer than she has.
Right.
And I'm talking like it's really, really insane to consider how little notoriety she's getting, how little press she's getting. When, as I mentioned, she is doing the absolute best work of any time in her career.
Right.
And they featured her in, two matches on AEW TV? It's criminal at this point. I don't know. I'm hoping that there's an end goal of some kind with this. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the two people that have held championships longer than her were Nigel McGuinness and Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. In Ring of Honor. So those are two people in that promotion that, I mean, just, you know, mentioning their name does get a lot of clout when you mention Ring of Honor.
Right.
But at the end of the day, she's not getting the love that she needs and that, quite frankly, she deserves.
Sure.
Hopefully we see some sort of an end to this storyline that she's working with. and she drops the title, or even better yet, just lays the title down in the middle of the ring.
I would like to see her fight Deonna Purrazzo. That would be a great match.
That needs to happen. There are so many women in AEW that I would love to see Athena work with. Deonna, I'd love to see her work against Thunder Rosa. I would love to see her work, obviously, against Toni Storm, Mariah May. There are so many options for her once they actually pull the trigger and do the right thing and move her to the AEW women's roster.
Okay, good stuff. Let's go right next into the WTS for the week. Now, Three Count is going to come up right after this show when we log off. Three Count pops right back on. So you guys are forbidden to talk about Tony Khan's stupid-ass comment. We will talk about that on Three Count. Okay, there we go. I want to throw that out there first. So easy on that, okay? And that also gives a guide for folks who's watching us live. Hey, jump back in because I'm sure you might have something to say about that. So outside of that, I'll start with you. Sin City Steve, what WTFs you saw in pro wrestling this past week?
All right. So I mentioned that I would bring up the Casino Gauntlet match in another segment, and it pains me to do it, but I have to mention it in this segment.
All right.
If you are going to create a new match type, you need to do a couple of things. One, you need to at least set the expectation for your live audience. Let them know the rules of the fucking match.
Oh, yes.
You also need to let your commentators know the rules of the fucking match.
Oh, my God.
You also should let people know at least some of the people involved in the match. So here's where all of this kind of goes. Yeah. The Casino Gauntlet match, all that was said at the beginning was that two men are going to start this match, and at random intervals, people are going to come down to the ring. And the first pinfall ends the match. Now, that's all well and good if you say those things, but at least make it known to people beforehand.
Right.
Because so the names in this match, we always love to give AEW shit because tournaments and things like that, they don't tend to have a lot of star power. Okay. So the prize in this match, the winner receives an international championship match against Roderick Strong at Double or Nothing. And the field in this match was pretty solid. Jay White, Dante Martin, Penta, Kyle O'Reilly, Will Ospreay, Lance Archer, Commander, and the aforementioned Jay Lethal.
Now, as
they mentioned on commentary, there could have been a total of 21 people to enter this match. But again, the match ended after Jay Lethal was the last man in there. Will Ospreay picked up the win by hitting Commander with a hidden blade and getting the win. Now, again, you have to set the expectation with your audience because there was no reaction to the ending of this match because they either assumed that it was elimination or they didn't know just what the actual fuck was going on with this match type. So make it known as far as what's going on. And elsewhere on Collision, we got the AEW debut of the Grizzled Young Veterans who actually lost to the Acclaimed. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. Okay, I completely fucking disagree with this booking decision. Why do you have the Acclaimed in this role to where you book yourself into a corner and force them to have to win the match? Because I get it, they've lost their trios titles, they've been on a skid, so you know having them lose here could have been pretty bad for them as far as perception. But the GYV, if you're actually going to bring them in as a mainstay to the tag team division, which they quite frankly should, they looked great in this match. They are both tremendous wrestlers. Why do you have them go out there and lose in their debut? What the actual fuck? And then the other thing that I'll mention is I talked about Swerve going out there and having a match with Claudio Castagnoli. That match was an absolute fucking banger. It was an absolute fucking banger. So, yeah, that's great. But you shouldn't have your world champion going almost 50-50 with both Kyle Fletcher and Claudio Castagnoli within the span of a week.
Right.
Make your champion look more dominant, please.
Take a page from the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar playbook. Okay. Just show up, swerve, wrestle at Double or Nothing. Until then, you just come make.
He needs to help Kofi Kingston.
No. He can wrestle every week, but he needs to look effective in those matches.
No, that's too much. I don't want my world champion working like that. That's nah. If I was a world champion, I wouldn't want to show up all the time. Mm-mm. Not me.
But that's the problem. He went from a baby face. He went from a would have done that and would have had the rest of the Mogul Embassy come out and beat the shit out of people while he watched.
Exactly.
Then maybe down the road he has an epiphany and goes and does a slow, progressive baby face turn. Not I'm a winner now, so I'm a baby face. MJF was a heel champion who became a baby face. I'm still your scumbag. I'm your scumbag. Okay, that was him saying, I'm going to be a heel, but I'm going to be your heel. This guy just went, babyface, fighting champion now. I'm a fighting champion. Why? Why are you a fighting champion? Okay.
By the way, is this a part of your WTF, or are you just piggybacking on?
Done. But it's oh. part of it.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Part of it. What the fuck?
There you go.
No. Go ahead. But no, it was stupid. It was stupid. By the way, if we're going to have a draft, are we going to actually have a draft or just going to say that you all get to keep your job?
Hey, the draft is coming up on 2-3 count, but thanks for getting everybody all pumped up and ready to jump back in and listen to stupid. That.
And then you've got Becky Hogan. Becky Hogan. Let me tell you something, brother. I'm the man, and that belt belongs to my beautiful waist. Look at these guns, all right? This is the dick I fuck Seth Rollins with, brother. It's like, what? There's no other women. No other women, just you. Okay? Yeah, you got punched in the face 5 years ago by somebody else. You had a bloody nose. You said, I'm the man. Before that, what was she? She was the kind of quirky goth chick, steampunk chick. What was she? She was the last kicker. They could not find a gimmick for her to stick. So then they made her a heel and the people started liking her and then it stuck and then she became the man. Now they tried it a few more times. They made her the heel thinking, okay, maybe the people will like this bad boy Becky, and it didn't stick. And now we just give her the belt because we can't think of anyone else to give it to.
Okay. So Rob, let me stop you right there. Okay. If you look at all the women that was in the ring, who else would you have given that belt to? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out myself. I looked at the whole roster, and I'm going, this is – to hold this title, you are representing. You're saying you are the baddest woman on Raw. When you look at that entire roster, who are you going to give it to?
I told you before. Was Shayna Baszler.
He's going to give it to Shayna.
I told you why I'd give it to Shayna Baszler, because Shayna Baszler is the only one with in-ring skill. It's not that Shayna Baszler is not good enough, is that they don't have somebody who can wrestle at that level. And it's always said in the ring, when people are wrestling, the person you're fighting is your partner. You have to be able to work with them. You have to be able to coordinate with them. You have to be able to dance with them and compliment each other in the ring. I
agree with you, but I think at the same time, if Shayna would have won, I think the audience would have just been like, okay.
No, I don't think so, because
they haven't different. Built. They haven't built Shayna up at Raw the way they did at NXT. So Shayna would have just been like, all right, whatever.
I'll give you an example. What did you guys make fun of me for the last 3 months nonstop? And what did I say was going to happen? All of you, especially Michaels, was going, you got to take JC and put her over on NXT. And I said, are you fucking stupid for a living? And that idiot Travis, same thing. Let's take the 65-0 Jade Cargill. Hype her up to no end, put her on every goddamn bus tour guide, and then we're going to throw her in fucking NXT to rot on the vine? You fucking morons. And you're supposed to be the wrestling experts. Let me take this fucking granite brick shit house of a woman with a pretty face and throw her with the little kids in the kiddie pool at NXT. Oh no, it's NXT. It's the greatest. Shawn Michaels pisses on all of them and all they right. drink from his holy urine of wrestling knowledge. Get the fuck out of here. That's where wrestlers go to rot on the vine. Then every once in a while, one of them is so goddamn good that Vince and Hunter are like, holy shit, I guess I have to promote them. Like Carmelo Hayes, I got to do something with them because he's outgrown the yellow brand. Back to the piss comment. And you go, well, think about this now. You have this person who is a fucking former cage fighter who has the skills, and her persona is that she's a tomboy gruff kind of person. She dresses up in Warhammer clothes. All of her ring attire is based on different Warhammer factions.
I agree with
she's
you, Rob.
Great.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, when you look at it in terms of a business, I just wouldn't see how that would have made sense.
Yeah, but the other person's boring me. The other person has been the champion nonstop for over five seasons.
You also know that that in terms of what they were trying to do in terms of reaction and someone being able to be the face of the company for that particular title, Becky was the best one, unfortunately. This is what it is. Sorry.
Hey, look, I'm not married to her, okay? I'm not married. You might be married to Becky Lynch. I don't care about the fucking last kicker. Who's swallowing down all Seth right. freaking Rollins? Oh,
all right, so let's go to
I
our.
I don't give a damn about that.
Let's see, what are we looking out for? All right, I'll start with you, Rob. Anything you excited for coming up, or
what I'm bored with is what I'm looking forward to. I am still intrigued with what they do with the bloodline, because seeing Solo Sikoa speak and him being this kind of mafia lord now, it's kind of like a Don character. I like this. This is intriguing to me.
Yeah.
I want to see what they do with this. And again, Hunter, because sometimes I wonder if you're really bright, Paul. If you don't take fucking Nia Jax and make her some freaking woman Don character, whatever you want to call it, if you don't make a Nina Simone type person, make her the female enforcer. Do it like freaking New Jack City with that one chick who's just dropping bodies, okay? I want to see her dropping bodies, okay? The problem is she's over there in the blue team now in a sea of amazing women, because you already said you've got the freaking two black brick shithouse women, you know, the ESTs, which their tag team should be called, running the show. So I don't know. I don't know if you have her beat Bayley, but she has to get some gold on her within a year or two.
With Nia, right?
Nia Jax. Yeah. Nia Jax, maybe you have her get up, not the first time around. You wait a little bit. You wait a couple of months, and you have her go after Bayley and beat the piss out of Bayley. I want to see it come from nowhere. I want people to just, she's in the background, part of the bloodline. She does almost like Sami Zayn did, where she's kind of begging to be in there. Make it like, oh, we don't want girls to be in here, but thank you. And then she fights her way in, and I want to see her wrestle men. That's the other thing. I want to see her get into a scrap or two with a guy. Not this Tozawa bullshit where they try to do a suplex and we couldn't suplex Tozawa. Made Rhea Ripley look real bad when her eyes bugged out of her skull. You know, go look it up. When she tries to suplex Tozawa, and her eyes explode out of her head. I can suplex Tozawa.
Oh, man. Oh, did he get stuck? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, my camera just died. Hold on.
Yeah, your image is stuck. It's looking like how Michael's camera used to look all the time. Oh, man. All right, let me go over why you fixing that. Sin City, what are you looking forward to, man?
All right, so, man. They are finally pivoting, and they're doing the right thing, and they're turning Mercedes Moné heel. Obviously she debuts, and they tried to shoehorn her in as this baby face, which granted, yes, she got a good reaction the first time that she came out there in front of fans.
Yeah.
But then after that, we saw what happened. People just weren't buying it. She wasn't getting crowd reactions. And now they have officially planted the seed. They've said that she's going to make her in-ring debut at Double or Nothing against Willow for the TBS championship.
CEO.
Oh, God. That fucking song, too.
CEO.
That fucking song sucks.
We're still in the WTF segment.
But realistically, yeah, though, you know, she's not been good as a babyface. We all know what she can do as a heel. I'm all for it. Again, they're pivoting. They are actually telling stories, and they're starting to set some things up. If you'll notice, they had a bit of a, you know, a pull apart, and it was not Willow and it was not Mercedes that instigated the physical contact between the two. It was actually Chris Statlander, who I think we are going to see where Chris Statlander falls in all this. Does Statlander turn on Willow and join up with Mercedes? Mm-hmm. Do they just basically all go their own separate way? I would love to see Mercedes Moné in the Elite. I think that she actually fits that aesthetic. And again, I think that it would complete the faction. If you have the Bucks, Jack Perry, Kazuchika Okada, and now Mercedes, and why not? If everybody has the titles, because yes, whether you like it or not, I could easily see Jack Perry taking that TNT title from Adam Copeland. I think that's the end game. I think that's where they're going. But I really want to see what they're going to do.
He'll switch with him.
Something. But if they do that, I just hope that they take his fucking mask off. Can't be a fucking dinosaur anymore. That gimmick has run its course. But you know, elsewhere, speaking of masked people, I want to see how they're going to use Rey Fénix, how they're going to use Rouge, and also a bit of a side shout out to the former Black Taurus, who is now going by the Beast Mortos. He's been in Ring of Honor for a few matches. Mm-hmm. He had a pretty fucking solid match against Fénix this week on Collision.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Great lucha match. But yeah, I want to know how they're going to reintroduce Rey Fénix back into the fold, what they're going to do with Rouge, how they're going to introduce him back into the fold. So yeah, it feels like as if they are getting a new crop of people. So they're just basically rotating people in, and you can see when these storylines are ending that they are plug and play with various other people from, you know, all different types of wrestling backgrounds. It's actually pretty interesting what they're starting to do.
I want to jump on one thing real quick. They screwed up with Mercedes Moné because they brought her out too soon.
Yes,
they should absolutely have had Willow Nightingale issue an open challenge. Yep. And then you find out that the challenger is Mercedes Moné. You have Willow Nightingale win. And then when the final time comes, Mercedes Moné comes and beats her, takes the belt. That would have been a much bigger pop because she's rotting on the vine waiting.
Yeah.
I'm getting bored watching her come out and do nothing.
Absolutely.
And by comparison to a lot of other wrestlers, as a female wrestler, she looks really scrappy. Her in-ring talent is known, but to have her come out there looking more rainbow than ever, it looks really, really bad to have her wait this long.
Okay. Yeah.
She should, if you're going to do that, have her wrestle matches, have her do squash matches, have her beat local talent, you know, enhancement talent. Don't have her come out here and talk about how great she is for fucking 5 months. And I'm going to be the best. And one of these days, I'm going to get in the ring. CEO. And I'm like, what?
All right. Best in show. All right, so best in show. Now, fellas, we'll just to throw this in. We'll, you know, you could put Dynamite if you want to add, not Dynamite. I'm sorry, Dynasty. If you want to add Dynasty, or if you want to even add Rebellion. All right, we haven't even talked about that. How about, you know, the fact we got Matt Hardy delete.
Ooh.
Back. I mean, we have some pretty good stuff.
Callahan, my friend. Callahan.
Yeah, Callahan. Okay. I'll leave it over. I know what? I'm going to start with you, Sin City. If you had to say best show of the week, starting all the way to TNA Rebellion, all the way to Collision of this past Saturday, where you at?
if we're talking pay-per-views, it's going to be difficult to beat Dynasty. I mean, seriously, it was one of the better wrestling shows of the entire year. Granted, AEW TV was very solid across the board this week. You had most of your angles brought in on Dynamite. Collision was phenomenal for in-ring. And then you had you actually had intrigue with Rampage. Obviously, you mentioned the parking lot fight at the beginning of the show, Rob, but also you had the Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo match, which we finally are getting a Deonna heel turn coming out of that show, thankfully. So again, telling stories, something that, you know, they've been afraid to do.
That new writer, that new producer.
Absolutely. So yeah, Dynasty, I know that was a long drawn out answer, but although all shows were good this week, Dynasty takes it for sure.
If you had to pick one of the shows for this week, not pay-per-view, what would you give it?
Collision.
Collision. Okay. I'm gonna come over to you, Rob. I just first want to say I don't want to ignore NXT. I thought that spring breaking was pretty great. Get a chance to see Trick Williams versus Ilya Dragunov, and that was a great match. The reality of it is listen, I mean, they both did what they had to do, but it was great to see that now Trick is now at that particular level. So let's see, you know, where he runs with that. Overall, great pay-per-view overall. I just wanted to throw that out. Roxanne Perez, I'm looking for her to get I'm waiting for her to just go ahead and be on the main roster. I think she's going to be great now as well. Let me move over to you because we got to get over to our next
We like our champion Roxy.
Yeah. What do you have? What do you got, Rob, for best
of the show? I don't like to count pay-per-views in it. The thing with the pay-per-views, it's a split because there were two banger matches, you know, on Dynasty. But then the reveals, we were all there for Rebellion. I had to clean my pants up with all the reviews.
Oh, my Lord.
Right? When I happened to be wearing my freaking Death Machine Callahan shirt, and he came out. I'm like, please, where's the fucking hard camera? I'm flailing my arms like a madman, okay? But then you had Delete. Jeff Hardy's there. Good God. I'm like, oh, God, please, no more. No more. I want to have a family one day. God, please make it stop. Santana came out. It was good. And the matches, let's not say that they did not wrestle as well as Dynasty for all intents and purposes. But we're really talking about the TV shows. Collision ran away with it into Rampage is one experience, because it really was. It's not like when they went to Rampage, they changed the commentary team. It was still Nigel McGuinness and Shivani. So we'll call it one show, 1 3-hour show, which could show that they could do a 3-hour show, by the way, and keep my interests.
All right.
They did. So it was good.
No doubt. All right, everybody. Listen, thanks for hanging out with us. That's our wrestling talk. We ask you for those who are watching us live, when we end this stream, we're going to go right into our three count, three good topics. If you're watching us, you saw what those topics were going to be. A lot of times we hint through those topics throughout the show. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you download Tuesday's podcast so you can hear it. All right. With that, we'll see you next time. Take care and happy wrestling to you all.